Adeline and Emmeline spent the first night and the first day in their room, in bed, arms wrapped around each other and gazing into each other's eyes. There was a tacit agreement between the missus and John the Dig to treat them as though they were convalescent, and in a way, they were. An injury had been done to them. So they laid in bed, nose to nose, gazing cross-eyed at each other. Without a word, without a smile, blinking in unison. And with the transfusion that took place via that 24-hour-long gaze, the connection that had been broken healed. And like any wound that heals, it left its scar. Meanwhile, the missus was in a state of confusion over what had happened to Hester. John, reluctant to disillusion her about the governess, said nothing, but his silence only encouraged her to wonder aloud. "I suppose she'll have told the doctor where she's gone," she concluded miserably. "I'll have to find out from him when she's coming back." At last, John had to speak, and he spoke roughly. "Don't you go asking him where she's gone. Don't ask him anything at all. Besides, we won't be seeing him around the place no more." The missus turned away from him, frowning. What was the matter with everyone? Why was Hester not there? Why was John all upset? And the doctor, he who had been the household's constant visitor, why should he not be coming any more? Things were happening that were beyond her comprehension. More and more often these days, and for longer and longer periods, she had the sense that something had gone wrong with the world. More than once she seemed to wake up in her head, to find that whole hours had passed by without leaving a trace in her memory. Things that clearly made sense to other people didn't always make sense to her, and when she asked questions to try and understand it, a queer look came into people's eyes, which they quickly covered up. Yes, something odd was happening, and Hester's unexplained absence was only part of it. John, though he regretted the unhappiness of the missus, was relieved that Hester had gone. To his way of thinking, losing Hester was no loss at all. When it became clear that she had gone for good, he brought his boots from the shed and sat polishing them by the stove, legs up on the table, for who was there to stop him now? It was not only people who reacted to Hester's absence. The house responded to it instantly, and its real, permanent nature began to reassert itself. As if nothing had ever happened to interrupt it, the house picked up again its long, slow project of decay. The old grime returned. Objects once again began to wander and disappear. The workmen repairing the roof left, never to return. And the twins, in all of this? It was a serious wound that Hester and the doctor had inflicted. Of course things would never be the same again. The twins would always share a scar, and the effects of the separation would never be entirely eradicated, yet they felt the scar differently. Adeline, after all, had fallen quickly into a state of fugue once she understood what Hester and the doctor were about. As far as she knew, the blackness that had been interposed between losing her twin and finding her again might have been a year or a second. Not that it mattered now, for it was over, and she had come to life again.